There you go. Answers that question. First thing, we'll take care of some personal business, and then we'll get rocking and rolling here. I do want to take an opportunity. And I was really good emotionally until Dwayne got up here and started talking about Joe. And just brought back a bunch of memories. But I just want to say thank you, church family, for your love and your support this week. For your attendance yesterday, man, I was so proud. There were so many of you that came and just showed your love, not only for Joe, but for Annette. Many of you, Annette's dad, Joe, passed away Tuesday. We had the funeral yesterday, Saturday. And then so, yeah, it's been quite a week. But thank you guys for coming. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for love. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your many texts and calls, the food. Thank you for all the food. It's not easy feeding us. Home of vegans and vegetarians is not easy to buy for. We appreciate that very much. Here, I don't need this. Another thank you is to Pastor Steve for this opportunity. A couple of weeks ago, he said, hey, I need you to teach on the 9th and the 16th. I'm being deployed to California for the fires with FEMA. And I said, okay, great. 2 weeks of this, wonderful. Then I got a text, hey, I'm delaying it. You just got to teach once the 16th. And then I get another text, hey, they've canceled the deployment altogether. Man, I'm jumping for joy. Yes. Oh, whew. Thank goodness. And he said, but you're still on. I'm like, oh. The thrill of victory and agony of defeat, like, you know, the roller coaster there. Yeah. So thank you for that. And I'd just like to say personal thanks to Mike. He's really stepped up. We've just been doing a couple of skits, three skits the last couple of weeks and next week, just for Christmas, just something simple. The reason why I wanted to do these three simple things, way back when I talked to Steve, I think in February about it to begin it, he was going to teach three messages off these skits, and we were just going to go from there. I wanted it simple. I wanted it humble, because that's the way our Savior came to us, yeah. Simply and humbly. And I guess what drove it was, I was seeing so many massive productions, and it was all about the production. It was all about the performance. It was all about everything else but Christ. And I just wanted to keep it simple and humble and just honor Him with just simply the Word and then songs and music. And I just, you know, thank you, Mike, wherever you, if you're still there, thank you for stepping up and helping out. I wasn't able to do all the walkthroughs and just rehearsals this week, obviously, with everything going on. So I just want to say thank you, guys. So just a big round of thank yous, and this is an honor to have your pulpit. Thank you. Don't take it lightly at all. So we'll get started. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And we'll see where this thing goes. It says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So if you got it there, let's throw up that map. I want to show you some things on their journey. So from Nazareth to Bethlehem was a 90-mile trip. Oh, there we go. 90 miles, Nazareth to Bethlehem. And what's funny is it says they went up to, in the word it says they went up to, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, they went up to, but it's a south trip. They say up because it's all uphill. So the trip was 90 miles, more than likely on foot. There's some stories and some about a donkey. I don't know if you've ever tried to ride a donkey for 90 miles. That's not going to happen. I don't know if any of you are familiar with donkeys or working with them. They go when they want to go. They don't go when they don't want to go. They pretty much do whatever they want, and you can't force them to do anything. So it would not have been an easy 90-mile trip on the back of a donkey. All right, so 90 miles. So it's uphill. It's rocky. A lot of uneven terrain. It's not going to be easy. The average human can walk about 20 miles a day before they need rest. So if it's 90 miles and it's 20 miles a day, It's about a 4.5-day trip on foot, right? But now imagine you're 15 to 17-year-old young lady. You're pregnant. You're in your third trimester. You're somewhere between 7, 8, and 9 months pregnant. Does that make that trip any easier? No. How many of you ever been pregnant? Just getting off the couch and walking to the refrigerator is not easy. Try going 90 miles on foot uphill in the snow. No, I'm kidding. So there was a shortcut. I don't know if you can see this, but at the top you see Nazareth where the red line goes all the way around. There was a shortcut. Do you see Samaria in the middle of the map? That would have taken, that would have cut off between 20 and 30 miles, maybe a day and a half to 2.5 days off the trip if they took the shortcut. Okay? If they took the shortcut, would have taken a couple of extra days off the trip. Now, in Jewish custom, there's a Jewish custom called hospitality. Okay? A Jewish custom called hospitality. I'm going to do really terrible in pronouncing this, but it's Hak Neset Orkum. Okay? Hak Neset Orkum. Now, the custom says if a traveler, a Jewish traveler, comes knocking on a Jewish door and you invite them in, they are afforded 4 days lodging and 4 days food. It's a Jewish custom. Okay? So on the first day of this Jewish custom, the host will kill a calf and feed the guests and their family. It's great. The second day, if they stayed day two, the host will kill a goat, feed them and their family. On day three, the host kills a fowl, feeds the family. On day four, it's time to go. He feeds them beans. It's time to get out the door. So, I believe if we look at the Jewish custom of Hak Neset Orkum, we could stop here and make this a message about salvation. The stranger knocks on the door. The host opens the door and invites them in. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And this is Jesus talking. "And if you hear my voice and invite me in, I will come in to you. I will dine with you and you will dine with me." So we could stop here and make this a message about salvation. Because see, Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. Not just this morning, not just during church, but every day. Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. And here's the cool thing. He doesn't barge in. He doesn't kick the door in. He doesn't force us. We have to do what? We have to open up our hearts and invite him in. Amen? Thank you, Miss Gay. We have to choose it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." But this isn't a message about salvation this morning. So we're going to get back to the trip. So I believe because of the Jewish custom of Hak Neset Orkum, they took the long way around. They took the 90-mile trip. Because of the Jewish custom, they were afforded provisions of lodging and food on their trip if they stayed on the outside, if they took the long way around. They had provision for them because of that Jewish custom. They knock on a door. They get food and lodging for up to 4 days. Now, the trip might have taken anywhere from 4 to 10 days, but because of this 4 days extra time that you get to stay in each town, after a 20-mile trip, you're 7 to 9 months pregnant. Who knows how long she needed to stay to recover? So some historians believe it was about a 4.5-day trip. Other historians believe it could have taken up to 2 months because of the timing, the uphill battle, the pregnancy, everything going on. So, you know, it could have been a couple of months trip. So I believe that they took the longer route. Number one, the Jewish custom. Number two, as a husband, I would never put my wife and my child in danger. Would you guys? Would you purposely take them somewhere where you knew there was no provision? There was danger? See, going through Samaria, we all know Jews and Samaritans were what? Enemies. They didn't like each other. So if they take the shortcut just to save a couple of days, there was no guarantee that they had provision. There was no guarantee that they would have lodging, that they would have food. Not to mention, he's putting his future child, the Savior of the world, and his wife in peril by taking the shortcut. I believe they took the long route, the 90-mile trip. See, now stopping here and listening with spiritual ears, we could make this message about the journey of life. It is an uphill battle. There's peaks and valleys. There's ups and downs. There's nothing promised to us in this journey of life. We can make this a message about not taking shortcuts. We can make this a message about God's provision and how he always makes a way. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide." And the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter in it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So if we look at this narrow path, and we're talking about the journey of life, see, God has a plan and a will for your life, and it's this path, this journey of life. God's provision is on this path. Amen?
Amen?
When we try to take shortcuts, where's God's provision? It's on the other path. It's on that straight and narrow path. There are no shortcuts in this walk with Christ. It will be hard. It will be a battle. It will be up and down. The Word says it is a narrow path and few travel it. It is a narrow path and very few travel that path. God's provision is on a narrow path. If we veer off and take shortcuts and try to do things in our own way, our own timing, our own strength, our own provision, we miss out on God's provision. We miss out on God's blessings, and we miss out on God's timing. All because we want the easier, shorter route. But this message is not about the journey. It's going a lot quicker than I thought it would. So in preparation for this message and reading Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, two thoughts and one passage just kept running over and over in my head. And the first passage is Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is Moses talking about some commandments. And he says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord God commanded to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you were going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, and you and your sons' sons, by keeping all his statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." And here's what was getting me. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Now, there's two passages in the New Testament. Luke 10, 25 and 28 quotes this same passage. And then in Mark 12, 29 and 32. And I'm going to focus on 12, 29 and 32 for a minute. And it says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he being Jesus, answered them well, asked them, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' And he said, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" To love the Lord your God with everything that you are. To love the Lord your God with, I don't know how else to say it, with everything. Holding nothing back. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, you're giving it all to Jesus. And so I had a cheesy thought, you know, had Dwayne sing that song, Make Room. We need to make room for Jesus in our lives. And I thought, you know, that's a little cheesy. We hear that a lot. So then I had this thought, make room. So I'm thinking of a dinner table at Thanksgiving. We just had Thanksgiving. Everybody knows the dinner table. It gets pretty full with food, doesn't it? The one thing we always forget, our family, is the bread. Dinner rolls. Anybody else forget the dinner rolls at the last minute? Oh, they're burnt in the oven and you come rushing up. So we'll make room for them on the table. So you're just pushing stuff aside and you just kind of stick them in a corner. And I thought, man, you know what? I don't want to do that for Jesus. I don't want to just kind of squeeze this over here and push this over here and hide that in a corner. Here you go, Jesus. Here's some room. I don't want that. I want to give him all of me. I want to give him absolutely everything that I have. Every breath that I have is his. Every action, every deed, everything I do and say, I want it to be him and his alone. Just Jesus wants all of you. So just real quick, the heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's a seat of your emotions and your desires. Just a couple of quick scriptures. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And then it goes on to say that the Lord searches the heart and tests the mind. Matthew 5:18-20, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a person. But Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard it, for everything you do flows from it. Talking about the mind, Pastor Steve touched on this last week. We are to renew our mind daily. Renew your mind daily. What does that look like? Reading the Word. Prayer. Worship. Every day. In Romans it says, and this is my paraphrase. Steve has his version. I'll throw mine out there for you, the Chuck version. Romans says, the least you can do is offer your life as a living sacrifice. That's your reasonable worship. The least you can do is to offer your life. Doesn't say just, the least you can do is, hey, Jesus, save me one time, walk away, done, I got my ticket, I'm going to heaven, I've punched it, I'm good, I'm gone, done. It's not enough. It's truly not enough. I want him to have all of me. Somehow this jumped ahead. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we do that daily, what we just discussed, reading, worship, prayer. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And you know what? I skipped the soul. Sorry about that, if we're going in order. Soul is the breath of life. God breathed life into them. God spoke, breathed the universe into existence. We have that breath inside of us. The soul is the thing that makes you, you. Your attitudes, your personalities, the choices you make. That's your soul. Your strength, Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily. Work hard. As for the Lord and not for men, everything you do is for God. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That takes strength, doesn't it? Resist the devil. Submitting. Submitting's hard, isn't it? Submit to God. That means you're laying aside all of your wants, all of your desires. God, I submit to you. What do you want? What is your desire for me? What is your heart for me? What's your heart for my family, for my children? What do you want for me? And you lay aside all that, and you submit. So then the second thought that came to me is reading Luke 2:1-7 and running through this and focusing, you know, trying to hone in on this. is the thought that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to spend just a few minutes talking about Lord and Savior, and then I'll be done. See, this may be a harsh thought, but I feel like we are really quick to accept Christ as our Savior. And that's all well and good. But we have a really hard time accepting Christ and making Him the Lord of our life. Romans, earlier we read it. It says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and confess with your mouth, what are you confessing? That He is Lord, you will be saved. If you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of what? Everything. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus is speaking, He said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Who gave it to Him? God. All authority is God's. All authority is now Christ's. God gave it to Him. He is Lord of all. And I read this and somebody said, I don't know if I like it or not, but I'll say it. He's either Lord of all or He's Lord of nothing. Remember the Revelation 3:20 we read a little earlier? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. A few verses before that, and you know what Jesus is saying? Because you are neither hot nor cold, you are lukewarm. Jesus is saying, I would rather you be hot, or I'd rather you be cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out, spew you out, I will throw you up at all the different versions, say something different. But the gist is this, lukewarm, it's going out. Because He's either Lord of all, or He's Lord of none. I want Him to be Lord of my life. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And because I believe that in my heart and I confess it, now I'm saved. But then we continue to live our life with Him as Lord. He has lordship over me. Amen? Luke chapter 6 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? This is Jesus talking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I've commanded you to do? Don't do what I've asked of you. Don't do what I've told you to do. There's another verse, I think Steve touched on it last week as well. Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Lord, we healed people in your name. And what did He say? Depart from me. Never knew you. Because He was not Lord of their life. It was in name only. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the stream broke against it. Hard life came. The ups and downs, the peaks and the valleys. The hard life. It immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I found this online, and I like it a lot. I could probably just read this paragraph and been done. Pretty feel like it sums everything up. But I had to take up some time, so. Wouldn't do any good to stand here and lie, would it? It says, Jesus is Savior affects only the so-called spiritual aspects of life. Jesus is Lord affects all of life. It is holistic and all-encompassing. It isn't limited to a Sunday, a midweek program, or more generally, just to the religious side of life. Jesus as Lord lays at the center of life and thereby orients, shapes, and affects everything else. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I can go out on a limb and say, Jesus is Lord, and a byproduct of his lordship is salvation. We need to move from Jesus Savior to Jesus Lord and live our lives for him and let him live his life in and through us. Because if we look at this, what's the big words that they use that I would never put in there? Holistic and all-encompassing. If we look at that, it doesn't affect just your Sunday mornings. It affects where you work. Do the people you work with know that Jesus is your Lord? Amen. When you go grocery shopping, I know Steve's talked about shopping and people come up to him, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Because they could see the attitude he had with his kids. You could see the attitude. I'm reminded of a story. Jordan's here from Indonesia. Everybody say hi. Hi. So here's the difference between a Christian dad and a non-Christian dad when they have little children. Steve's in a grocery store, juggling, playing around with his kids, keeping them entertained while they're grocery shopping, right? And people see the life and the joy and the love for the whole family. You're a Christian. Am I getting the story right? Well, yeah. Because of the joy and the interaction. We're in Panama.
You got no Jesus.
No Jesus whatsoever. So Jordan is maybe three or four, and we're walking down an aisle, and she is throwing a fit at the BX, the base exchange, basically just a small mall for military stuff, just throwing a fit. So I grab her up by the arm, and boom, and I pop her butt, and I said, "You settle down right now." I'm sorry if that offends you, but I spank my kids. Still do. No. Popped her on the butt, and so this lady's walking by the aisle, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it." And I said, "You want some too?" And she took off running. See the difference? That was BC in my life before Christ. Didn't mean to put you on blast, baby girl. I love you. One more scripture, then I am going to give a time to respond just by way of a little explanation. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in a faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Amen. So I said, you know, this wasn't a salvation message and this wasn't a message about the journey. It is. It's about all of this. This is a message about salvation, about inviting Christ into your heart as Lord of your life. It is about the journey of life. It's not easy. It's uphill. It's uneven terrain. And spiritually speaking, we are pregnant, and Christ is trying to birth things through us as we go. And we can take the shortcut and take the epidural. And we can take the drugs and we can do all the stuff to feel no pain. We can take that shortcut. But Christ says simply, follow me. Pick up your cross, and follow me. And that involves making him Lord of your life. Giving him lordship over every area of your life. So it involves all three: salvation, the journey, and making him Lord. Amen? Okay, so I do want to give a response time. I just want to do, but we'll do it a little bit different. We do have an amazing presentation from the children in just a few minutes. So I want to pray with you guys, and I want to jump out of the way. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to be bold. You're going to be courageous. I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but I am going to ask you to stand. Not all of you. I mean all of you if you want. I'll explain. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want you to stand. If that's what you want to do. If the journey of life has been tough and you've been taking shortcuts, God doesn't make you start back over and go again. He provides a way right back to where you were. Keep going. God always provides a way. Always. God always provides provision. So if you've been trying to take shortcuts, and you're ready to get back on that narrow path, stand up. We're going to pray for you. And if you need to make Jesus Lord, if, hey, you know what? I was saved at 2. I was saved at 10. I went to church with my grandma, and she was saved, so I'm saved. If you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want you to stand to your feet. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. You are such an amazing, beautiful, incredible God. My words fail trying to describe you and your love. But you're impressive. You are amazing. God, you see those who stood up today and you know their hearts. You know their hearts, God. You know what they need. You know right where they're at in their life. Nothing they've ever done has surprised you. You've been right there beside them all along, guiding them, leading them, holding them, letting them have their own way, the glory of free choice, free will. So God, I'm just going to lay out three prayers, and I want you to grab whatever you need. Grab the hem of the garment while it's available. Father God, come to you in Jesus' name, and I lift those up to you who need salvation. Lord, that they would accept you into their hearts and believe that you are the Lord, that you are resurrected from the dead, that you are the one and only true Son of God, and that they confess with their mouth that you're here for salvation. You can whisper it out, you can say it, but confessing involves an audible, outward something out of your mouth. Confess right now, Jesus is Lord. And we thank you for that. God, there's so many of us, we've taken shortcuts, we've veered off the path, we've done what feels good. We've ran here and ran there and done this and done that. God, I pray that you lead us all back to your path, your will for our life, and the lives of our family, and the lives of our coworker, everyone we influence, God, bring us back to that path. Can draw people to you, Lord. God, give us the strength to walk that path. It's hard. It's not easy. But you're right there, and you provide the strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. God, we walk that straight and narrow path, and we know we can do it with you and for you. Lord, when you are Lord of our life, we access to everything. We lay down everything that keeps us from you. Lord, all the little things we hide and nobody knows about, and all the things that, you know, it's okay if I do this here and I do that there, as long as nobody. God, we lay all that aside. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. God, we lay it aside. We lay all that garbage at your feet. We pick up your cross, God, and we're going to simply follow you. As you command the disciples, you just walked up to them and said, hey, follow me. That's what we want to do. Get ready for a children's